awesome. Woo! Woo! Feel free to stand up and shake your Bible. You're allowed to do that. We're a happy, clappy church, as Dad said this morning. So, you know, if you want, just go for it. That's cool. Oh, well, I hope you're getting a lot out of the Breakthrough series. It's been pretty good, I think. Like, I feel like I've been getting a lot out of it. And I hope that more than that, that the people in your life are getting a lot out of the Breakthrough series. I hope that the people that you work with and the people that, like, you live with and the people that, like, you share your life around, the people that you go to school with or uni with, I hope that those people are getting a lot out of the Breakthrough series because you're getting a lot out of the Breakthrough series. I hope that because your life is being transformed and your life is changing and being changed by God and being changed by what God is doing, that people around you like are starting to see that, amen? Because like being a Christian and having Breakthrough is not about you like just feeling a little bit better about yourself or about your life, but it's about doing the will and the purpose of God and seeing that move, yeah? And so like while like the whole 6 weeks of Breakthrough series might seem like it's about you, it's actually not. Woo! People are excited about that. You know, your life is not actually about you. Your life is about God and His purpose and the people that He has put around you, yeah? And you are here not just to go through life. You are here for a purpose. So you've been called and chosen by God to do something significant for His glory, amen? So get into it, yeah? Do it. Just do it. That's my word. There it is tonight. That's the word. Just do it. I'm going to say it later, but I really like reading in the Bible, and in Philippians, it just says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I said, rejoice. And I was like, well, that's pretty simple, you know? Like, the Bible is pretty straightforward. Just rejoice all the time. And this week is about joy, which is really cool. I'm excited. Are you excited? Are you ready to hear what God has to say? I have these messages, and now that, like, we've been doing the same basic thing in the morning and in the night, sometimes I don't really feel like I need to say much because, like, the Sunday morning messages have been amazing. So if you haven't been coming on a Sunday morning, I'll say it again. Download the podcast. You know, all of us are of the age that, you know, you know how to use iTunes. If you don't, come and see me. I'll help you out. See the guys at the back if you really don't want to. They'll give you a CD of it. There is no excuse. If you don't have a CD player, Josh will find a cassette recorder and he will make you a copy on cassette tape and you can play that in your stereo that you are keeping from like 1980. I don't know. Like if you prefer it on vinyl because you're a purist, then I'm sure they can work that out for you. Don't. Josh is nodding his head, so it's all right. If you want it on vinyl, Josh, can I get this message on vinyl, please? That would be awesome. I don't even have a record player, but that would be sick. Imagine that. Anyway, what I'm saying is, please do not use anything as an excuse to stop you hearing what God has to say, yeah? And more than that, read your own Bible. You know, get it straight from the source. You know, that's, you know, like when you go to uni, you've got a reference. I'll give you a hint now. All of my references come from the Bible, and they always will. So get a Bible and read it, and then you will understand the things that I'm saying already. That seems pretty simple. All right. So what does it mean to have joy? I think this is something that like all of us kind of understand, but it's kind of hard to put into words, yeah? You know what it feels like to have joy. You know what it feels like to not have joy. You know, joy is like scoring a goal in soccer. And that's joy. When you score, that's the feeling of joy that you get. That the opposite of joy is losing 3-0 in the semifinal. And we're not going to dwell on that. But we're believing for a bigger and better year for City Life FC next year. If you're interested in playing, come and see us. Pre-season training starts next week. It doesn't really. The dictionary defines joy as a happy feeling caused by something good happening. And I really don't like that definition of joy because that's not the joy that I want. You know, the joy that I want is not one that goes away when something bad happens in my life. The joy that I want is not something that disappears as soon as the circumstance is not something to be happy about. You know, your joy should not depend on your circumstance. Amen? No, it is so easy to be joyful when things are going exactly how you want them to go. If you're not joyful when everything is going well for you, then you need to worry about that. You need to think about that. If you're miserable when everything is amazing, then you are going to struggle when everything is bad. You know, the joy that I want is joy always. The joy that I want is the joy of the Lord, not the joy of the circumstance. Yeah? Because it's so easy to get the joy of the circumstance and miss the joy of the Lord. Now, don't let your mood decide your mood. That might sound silly, but honestly, how often do you let your mood decide the way you are going to live your life and the way you're going to see everything? You know, don't do it, yeah? In Philippians 4, I'll say it again, in verse 4 to 7, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I'll say it, rejoice. Just put it in there again. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I want the joy that transcends all understanding. That when somebody looks at my circumstance in my life, they say, I have no idea why Andrew is still joyful, because everything has gone wrong in his life. And I'm believing that not everything's going to go wrong in my life. Like, I'm not going to speak that over myself. But, you know, even if that's the situation, even if that is the circumstance that I'm in, I want the joy that transcends all understanding. I want the joy of the Lord, amen, that fills my heart. You know, how free can your life be if you're filled with the joy of the Lord, not the joy of the world? Habakkuk 3 17 to 19 says that though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, if you are an agricultural society, you are in trouble if there is nothing. It's like not one thing that you've been trying to grow is working, and you've got no sheep and you've got no cows, so you've got absolutely nothing. It's like saying when you don't get any shifts and someone skims your credit card and you owe thousands of dollars and everybody in your life has rejected you, when all of this stuff has happened, you know, when people are dropping you from their Facebook friends lists left, right, and center, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. It's not about the stuff that's in your life. It's about the God that's in your life. Amen. And it's about the God that will make you able to go to great heights, regardless of your circumstance. Yeah? That is the joy that I want to live in. Is that the joy you want to live in? Good. You're excited about that? You're allowed to be excited in church. This is the service for like young and the young at heart. So don't be afraid to make some noise, you know. I will not be offended if you get into it. Nobody else will be offended either. So how do we live in that joy? How do I live in the joy of the Lord and not rely on the joy of the circumstance, yeah? We good? All right, I think the first thing you need to do is you need to live in the Spirit. You know, live in the Spirit. Don't live in the circumstance. Live in the Spirit of God, not in the spirit of the world. You know, joy, the Bible says, is a fruit of the Spirit. So it's not dependent on the things that are happening in your life, but it's dependent on the Spirit of God inside of you. In Galatians 5, it says that the acts of the sinful nature, they're obvious. Immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, here it is, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. No, the Bible is so clear. It just says, like, the things of the world, the things of the spirit of the world, they are so obvious and they lead to death. But the fruit of the Spirit is life. It's joy. And if I live in the Spirit, then I'll have joy that goes beyond anything that could happen in my world, anything that could happen in my life. You know, it is really, really, really easy to live in the natural world. I don't know if you've noticed that, but you know, that is, like he was saying, mostly our default. So if you don't try and do anything, that's the way you're going to go. It's really, really easy, but it's also really, really destructive. Yeah, and you see it all the time. And if you think about all the things that Paul lists in Galatians, you can think about your life and you can think about the lives of your friends and you can think about the lives of so many young people in our world. And that just sums up a weekend. To some people, that sums up a great weekend. It's like, that is the spirit of this world, but it leads to death. Yeah, it doesn't lead to joy. Living in the Spirit, that requires effort. That requires you to go out and do something other than what you would naturally do. That's why it's called living in the Spirit, not living in the natural, yeah? But it's the one thing that will lead to life, and its fruit is love and joy and peace, yeah? So that's worth living for, yeah? Why would you follow the path that leads to death and not the path that leads to life? That's just stupid. That's when your joy doesn't come from what's happening around you. That's when your vision and your perspective is transformed and you start to see what God sees and what he wants to do. And James says this in James 1:2. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You know, it doesn't say, you know, put up with the trials and circumstances. Joy is not like being patient and not whinging when bad stuff happens. Joy is looking at the circumstance that's bad and thinking that it's joy because that stuff's happening, because God's doing something amazing in your spirit, in your heart, and in your life. And that is such a challenge to me, yeah? Because it's so easy to look at what you do and to look at the things that are happening in your life and just go, I don't understand why things aren't working the way I want them to work, God. But he says, but no, consider that stuff joy. Like, you're lucky that stuff isn't working out in your life right now, because I'm building something in your spirit that is going to last for eternity. Amen? And these trials are light and they're momentary, but they're for an eternal reward. And so then for the joy that's set before me, like, that's what Jesus did. And for the joy that was right in front of him, that's you and me, he endured the cross. And it wasn't just like, I've got to get through this, but it's like, I want to do this because of the result. And when you live with the Spirit of God inside you, then anything that happens in your life, you can consider joy. That's a crazy thought. You know, like every time something happens that's wrong, like, do you do that? Do I do that? No. You know, when something bad happens in your life, do you consider it a joy? Now, when you realize, like, I am not the best at keeping track of things, and I realized a few weeks ago, I think it was like the 1st of August, that my car rego ran out on the 5th of August. And I was like, do I consider it pure joy that I missed that? No, I don't. I go, whoa. Okay, do I consider it pure joy that I then unexpectedly have to pay all this money to register my car so that I can drive, yeah? No, that's not a joyful experience, but like the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And so no matter what is happening, that's just such a stupid little example, but no matter what is happening in your life, you can consider it joy because you're filled with the fruit and the Spirit of God. It's not about the thing that happens. You know, if you rely on the circumstance of your life to feel happy, you will be like a roller coaster. And it'll affect everything in your life. But if you let God be the thing that determines your joy, then you'll always be joyful, amen? So live in the Spirit. The second thing, just quickly, is we need to live in gratitude. I read this the other day. One of the musicians from Hillsong tweeted this a while back, and he said, gratitude turns what we have into enough. And I was really struck by that. Like, it just, so that thought just kind of stayed with me. And I just think, you know, it, like, we are always wanting more. We're always trying to get more. And we always don't think we've got enough. But gratitude, it turns the things that I have into enough for me. And gratitude for what God has done for me, like, it turns it into more than enough for me. Yeah, amen? And so living in, if I live in thankfulness to God for everything that he has done for me, then I will always be joyful because I will always have enough, yeah? No matter what is going on in my life, I'll always have enough because Jesus died for me. Come on. You know, greed is the enemy of joy. And I've never met anybody that's been made totally happy by something that they bought or by something that they got, yeah? By something that they got from the world. You know, I bought these shoes this afternoon, my new shoes, and they're very white and very new looking, and they won't be for very long, you know? And so, like, I like these shoes. They're nice. I'm happy that I bought them, but they're not going to bring me joy. And if they bring me joy, then in a few weeks' time, when they start getting scuffed up, then my joy is going to deplete, yeah? And I'm going to want something else. You know, I'll see someone else, and I'll go, oh, I like those shoes. Oh, they're nice shoes. Then my joy just goes away, yeah? Now, if you base your joy on the things of this world, it's so fickle, yeah? You know, I think they'll just wear out, they'll just die, you'll just see something else that you want that's more. But if you live in gratitude for what God has done in your life, then you always have enough and you will always be full of joy. And, well, let's be grateful, yeah? What can you complain about, honestly? I have been saved totally by love and grace of God. I have been saved, though I didn't deserve it one bit. God sent His Son to die for me so that I could have life to the full. I could have a purpose that is bigger than anything I could think of. I could have a relationship with God. I could have eternity in heaven. I don't have to go to hell. Amen? You know, if you need something to be joyful about, thank God that you're not going to hell when you die. Like, really, that should be enough. You know, 1 Peter 1, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These things have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him, and though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And I read that again today, and it's just like, there is this inexpressible joy inside of me because of what Jesus has done. Because of what God did for me, there is this joy that is right inside my life that nothing can take away. No bad day, no bad circumstance, no bad year, no bad decade. Honestly, nothing can take away that inexpressible joy that is inside my heart because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. Amen? And when you live in just the gratitude to God for everything that He's done, then you'll just always have enough, yeah? What could I fear? What could I want? God has a plan for my life. God has chosen me. God is for me and not against me. God has a purpose and a plan, and He loves me. Like, what else could I ask for, honestly? Like, seriously, if you want something more, then change your perspective because you've been given so much. And if you want real joy, then start to realize what God's done for you. Now, I challenge you to understand what Jesus did for you on the cross and not feel joyful. Try it. Like, just try it. It's like a dare. And if you come to me and you say, I totally get with all my heart what Jesus did and I still feel miserable, then, you know, we can talk about it. But seriously, if you really figure that out, then you cannot be not full of joy and wonder, yeah? It's so amazing, yeah? Now, we need just to learn to accept what God has done for us and the incredible thing that He has done for us, yeah? And just celebrate that. Like, why wouldn't you have joy for that? Now, I have here, I have $20. Woo! Who wants $20? Well, come on. There we go. He gets it. That's it. That was the game. That was all. I don't have another $20 in my pocket. Sorry. No round two. How easy was that? Colin just got $20 because he got up and took it. Because he had like, okay, here. I feel your pain there. I see your point. But, you know, the joy of the Lord is your strength. No, come on. You can't have my iPad. It's not happening. My point there, this is a silly example, is that there is this incredible free gift from God that is worth like infinity times as much as $20. And all we got to do is get up and grab it. Like, all you got to do is get up and accept the free gift. You don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to do something funny. You don't have to, like, you know, you don't have to do anything weird or religious. You just got to accept the free gift of grace that God has given you. And then when you do, like, that joy is just complete in you because, like, you know that you've been given everything, yeah, and you can live in gratitude, not live in envy or want, yeah. Like, I don't need to want for anything because I've been given the grace of God, amen? And that's just huge. So my question is, like, if you want joy, then take up the free gift that God has there for you. He's got it right there for you. So live in gratitude. And the third thing, really quick, because I'm out of time, is to live with purpose. You know, when you seek joy by itself, it'll make you go crazy, yeah? You can't pursue something that's unattainable, and you can't chase after happiness or joy. It doesn't work. It's not like a thing that you can just go for and say, what's the thing in your life that you are trying to achieve? And you say, well, I want to be happy. Like, you can't get happy by trying to be happy. Does that make sense? You can't attain that. But when you pursue God's purpose, the joy comes without you even trying. Yeah, like when it stops being about you and you trying to get more and you trying to be happy, then the joy of the Lord fills your heart because you're doing the thing that He has called you to do, and He enables you and He empowers you and He fills you just with His Spirit, and then you can have that joy. Amen. And I want to read this passage, and it's a bit long. So turn with me if you've got it there. Isaiah 58, 6 to 40. And he's talking about fasting, which I was finding really interesting. But it says this: "Is not this the kind of fasting I've chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and to not turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and He will say, 'Here am I.' If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and the malicious talk, if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called the repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's day honorable, if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to rise on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken." You know, the people that I've met in life that are the most full of joy are the people who have just given their lives to God totally and completely, and are just after His purpose. And it's not about their circumstance. It's not about the things that they want. It's about what God is doing, and they are the most excited and happy people in the world. You know, some of you might have, I don't know if anyone has met Richard from Hong Kong. A few people, maybe. When I was in, like Richard, who is now the lead pastor in Jesus Lifehouse Hong Kong, when I was in Japan, he was in Japan, and he's got to be one of the most excited, happy guys I've ever met. And he's just always in a good mood, like just really excited. And when I look at the way that it, like they were that he lives, it was just like, you know, life group, then like another life group, and then like an outreach, and then like another meeting, and then like 25 services on a weekend, and then like a Wednesday night service and a Friday night service, and then go to work because, you know, it's expensive to live in Japan, so you got to work as well. And I'm not really exaggerating very much. This is like a normal thing. And I've never seen someone happier. And like we would complain, you know, if we had like six services and you had to be at them all, you would complain about how hard it is. But when you just give your life for the purpose of God, then His joy fills you. And that's not just a verse in the Bible. That's real life. That's a real thing that happens, yeah? We have this society that is chasing happiness so hard. You know, always. But it just gets further and further and further away. You know, why would you chase happiness when it just gets further away? Why wouldn't you chase God who is running towards you? I want to finish with a bit of a story. And most of you probably have read this one before, but it's in Luke 15. And it's the story of the prodigal son. And I'm going to paraphrase. But basically, there's this guy. And his father is wealthy. And he says to his dad, I don't want to wait until you die to receive the inheritance. Give me all the money now, because I want to go and I want to enjoy my life. I'm going to chase after happiness and joy. But I'm paraphrasing. You get the idea. And so his father gives him the money and says, okay, that's what you want. So here it is. And says that this son gets everything that he's got. And he goes off to this other land where he parties and he does everything that he can think of that he would want to do in the natural, like just wastes all of his money, spends it all. And so then there's this famine on this land and he's just desperate and he ends up working with like pigs in a slop because he's spent all of his money chasing after happiness and joy. And he looks at his life and he goes, oh, well, I think my life, even if I was a servant in my father's house, it would be better than this. And so he turns around and he decides to go home. And he says, I think that he'll just go home and say to his dad, Dad, I don't deserve anything, but just let me be a servant now because like I've spent all of your inheritance. And I'm going to read a bit here. And from verse 20 it says, so he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And the son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. And so they begin to celebrate. You know, you don't have to chase after joy. You don't have to chase after happiness. God is there, and He wants you to come to Him, and His arms are open, and He is there waiting for you, and He wants to give you that joy. It's not something you've got to convince Him to do. All you got to do is come to Him. It's so simple, and we are exactly like this son in this story, and that we spend our lives chasing happiness or joy or things that we think are going to fulfill us, but all we need to do is turn to God and run to Him, and He's right there, and it is so simple and so easy. All you got to do is just accept what God has done for you already. And yeah, you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it, and that's not the point. It's just the grace and the love of God, and when you've heart is filled with that, you'll be filled with joy no matter what the circumstance in your life. I want to pray. Maybe you stand with me and let's pray together. God, I just thank you for your love for me, for us. God, that like that son, we all just run away and we spend our inheritance, we spend the things you've given us chasing after happiness or joy or things that we want, God, instead of living for you. And God, just like that son, we can turn around right now and come towards you, and your arms are open for us. And that's so incredible, God. And I just pray that, I don't know, God, you would show us how incredible that is more and more. God, that we wouldn't just take that as a story from the Bible, but as a picture of your love for us. God, that you would just speak it into our hearts right now. God, I thank you that your joy can be our strength. God, that we don't have to be bound by circumstance or the situation in our life, God, but we can have joy in you every day despite the circumstance. And God, that you have it there right for us right now. And tonight, maybe you want that and you want to just come to God and just come close to him and want his joy to fill you, then I want to pray with you tonight. And just raise your hand with me and let's just pray together. And you say, yeah, I want to come back to God maybe for the first time, or I want to come closer to God, or I don't want to live trying to pursue my own happiness and my own joy. I want God's purpose for my life, because I know that's where I'll find true joy. If you want me to pray with you tonight, then let's just put up your hand. You know, everyone's praying, everyone's eyes are closed. It's not about like people seeing that. It's about you saying to God, God, that's me. I'm serious, and I want you to come into my life fresh and new. So that's you, just raise your hand with me. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you for your presence here right now and your love for us. I thank you for every person that's here tonight, God, and for every person with their hands raised and their hearts open, God, that you would just show them your love and your joy so clearly. I just pray that you would just be with us and be close to us, God. Sorry for just running away and doing our own thing. God, forgive us, and God, we thank you for your forgiveness. And Lord, just come into our lives and just fill us fresh with your joy and your spirit, God. We're just all going to pray this prayer together before we finish. And you might know it if you've been before, but it's up on the screen so we can all pray it together. So let's just pray. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I'll follow you. Amen. Yes, guys.